time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Off and running here live in Las Vegas. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard from the South Point Sportsbook inside the VSiN studio. We are loaded to the gills today. In 45 minutes, Nigel Seeley is going to join the program. We'll get his best soccer bets of the weekend. In an hour, Paul Stone, another appearance this week. He'll break down three or four of his best bets in college football. We have Matt Viscursion on Major League Baseball and Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, to talk about week number seven. We shall begin with what took place last night, Paulie, in Major League Baseball, game two of the World Series, as the Rays now tie this puppy up with the Dodgers. It's one apiece. I'm looking at updated series prices now. Dodgers as high as $2. Rays in the plus 160, plus 170 territory. And game three going tomorrow night. That'll be Buehler on the mound against Charlie Morton, who has had an exceptional career in his postseason starts. And Buehler is around 155. Rays are plus 145. But that's what they needed to do last night for a team that cannot hit, right? They've struggled now for weeks in the playoffs, still because of the pitching and timely hitting, I'll say, got into the World Series. But Brandon Lau does it last night in the second at-bat to get him on the board. And that kind of set the tone for the game. And they're eventually winners for last night's game.
First guy to go oppo twice? How about that? That's historic. You have to like the Rays' chances here. Now, everything you mentioned about Martin, but he'll go in Game 7 if it happens, and he's been one of the best Game 7 pitchers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So how about that? Also, who do you throw in Game 6? Enough with me. Come on. It's enough already. How many times do you have to see this guy either walk people or get lit up before you say, you know what, we got to put somebody else in there?
Well,
Wood, I don't care. Gosselin, again, you can't trust him.
Right.
Urias in Game 4. Now, still, after what happened in Game 1, you can make a case that Kershaw could get roughed up, but he would have to lean Dodgers in Game 5. But definitely, when you look at Game 6, if this goes to 7, you can't be surprised if Morton outduels Buehler tomorrow night.
No, not at all.
I mean, this is we got a hell of a series here. I mean, the Dodgers could be in trouble, and I don't want to lay $2, $2.10.
No, neither do I.
No.
At this point now, tied at one apiece. To me, anyway, I could only look at that plus money with the Rays. You're right. Put it this way, when the Dodgers have to do a patchwork pitching game like they did last night, and the thought was maybe Gonsolin could go 50 pitches or three or four innings, whatever might come first, he couldn't even make it out of the second. When they have to go a combination of Gonsolin or May, whatever that might be, you have to bet the Rays every single game. Because if they go patchwork or if they go bona fide starter in Blake Snell, they have the clear upper hand in that game. That's obvious at this point.
And how long does Urias go in Game 4? How long will Buehler go in Game 3? You know, and they bet the strikeout prop over last night, Gonsolin. I mean, well, I guess if you knew he'd only go 1 1/3 or whatever it was.
Well, here's the breakdown on that. He's Smoltz was talking about this in the broadcast. Gonsolin is one of the better changeup pitchers in baseball. The Rays are one of the worst teams against the changeup in baseball. That was a thought, but I tracked that all morning long. I think Circa was the one book that popped it up for like hours. It was available. But when I first saw Gonsolin was over 3.5 minus 130, that was a loser for me last night. I bet him over because I thought the matchup was going to go well for him, and it did not. That was a loser. But it went from 3.5 minus 130 to 4 over minus 140, then to 4.5 over minus 105. That happened within, 25 minutes, half an hour. And then I looked a little bit later on in the day. It came crashing all the way back down to 3.5 over was plus 125. So initially, the betting was all over Gonsolin going over his K prop. And then other money came in and said, I don't think so at 4.5. And at 4, and they brought it all the way back down to 3.5. That was wild. That happen.
What was loud at the first home run?
Plus 950 last night.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And then Sean Harnish wins again. Will the first home run be solo? That cashes. Juicy. But I'm looking at this. It's like they're in trouble. This is not going to be easy for the Dodgers.
Let me ask you this. Would you automatically go Kershaw game 5? Or would you say, haven't decided yet. We could go Kershaw game 4 so he's available in game 7.
Talk to him. See how he feels. Yeah, he only threw 70-some pitches.
Right.
So I want to hold on to Urias as long as I can and keep him throwing. Because that's the other thing. If he starts game 4, how long will he go? I'd rather have him. I could use him back-to-back days and use him more out of the bullpen.
Me too. Yep, so I think that should be an option, actually.
Because after today, we go Friday, Saturday, Sunday off day.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't, you can just look. I'd say right now, give game 6 to the Rays. Who the hell are they going to throw? You can't trust anybody else.
I totally agree with that, Paul.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if we get that far, they're going to have to go. I mean, this is where Mike Palm has been spot on. Like a game like last night, that's where they miss a Maeda or a Ryu or a Rich Hill, somebody like that. Because clearly at this point, I mean, if Roberts goes back to Gonsolin and May in any order, oh, man, welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Paulie Howard, starting today's program talking about Game 2 of the World Series from last night. Rays winners 6-4 over the Dodgers, and now we are even in this World Series at one game apiece. By the way, the Rays covered the reverse run line, which paid out at plus 190. That was a 6-2 game until the Dodgers hit a couple of solo home runs to make it 6-4. The run in the first inning cash for the Rays, they were plus 110. And the team to score first at Circle was the Rays minus 135.
Yep. Tough beat. First five under. 1-0 top of the fourth. Two outs. Two-run double. Then a home run with two outs in the top of the fifth.
Yep. So that's now...
Looked like it was going to be 1-0 going to the bottom of the fourth. So,
right. That's now both games over first five and over for the full game. And Blake Snell did go over his K-prop. That was... Where is it here? 5.5.
Mm-hmm. He pitched well.
He really did.
He was nasty. Yeah, absolutely. Good series.
Game three.
Great props.
This is no gimme for the Dodgers in game three.
No, he's $1.50 and eight to total.
Sure.
Right. But I would trust him over Bueller, over Morton. But again, how long can he go? That's the other thing about how long, because he throws so many damn pitches.
Right.
And with he's striking out so many guys. And we'll see if the Rays will make him work.
But for drama purposes here, you know, some entertainment value, I'm glad the Rays got the win last night.
Well,
I don't have a series price.
Yeah, this is they're in a bad start for Fox. You get two blowouts. I mean, that's unfortunate what happened. So it goes like back to the NBA Finals. Well, two of the games were 30 points blowouts in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here you want to see a competitive game, and it's blowout city in the first two games.
You missing more fans?
No. No, not at all.
Mm. Do you like the idea of the neutral field for the World Series?
Yeah, I like it.
I don't hate it.
I don't know why we have to talk to Kershaw for 5 minutes during the game.
Yeah,
I don't see why that's necessary. It's all cliches. He's not going to give you anything anyways.
Thanks for your time,
but
Fred.
That's right, right. And by the way, when they interview him, there's a pitching change, so that didn't exactly work out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. A lot going on tonight though. Huh? We got debate props. We got Thursday night football. We got a college game. We got an NFL game. They ran the numbers on ESPN.com. It is possible that the winner of the NFC East could win four games.
Oh, that was a great threat. I saw that.
How good was that? Now, unlikely, but again, Halle Berry could still call me back, so you never know. But a viewer sent this in as well. There's a prop up at DraftKings. How many games will the NFC East winner finish with? 7.5 under 125.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to win eight games? I mean, come on.
At this stage of the game?
Who's going to win eight games?
That's,
Dallas should be 1-5.
Uh-huh.
The Eagles were lucky to get a tie against the Bengals. Half the team's hurt. Although I bet them and like them tonight. But you see how bad the Giants are. Who's going to get to eight wins in this division?
We have 10 games left. So the Cowboys have to finish 6-4. Other teams have to finish better than that, Paul.
Just routed at home by Arizona.
Yeah.
Routed. In a game where the quarterback completed 9 passes. I mean, this is really hard to make. And Philly is so banged up. And they play next Sunday night, too. Dallas plays Philly. So it's really hard to make a case for that over. 7.5 under, juice to the under. But tonight, a mash unit for Philly with all these guys banged up. And we got some great props as well. But the Giants have lost 7 in a row and 11 of 12 and 20 of 24 to the Eagles. They've lost 6 in a row in Philly. Philly's 4-0 on Thursday night under Peterson. Jeffrey, out. Sanders, out. Ertz, out. Malik Jackson, out. 26th in passing. Although I do like what I saw the last couple weeks, not the first half, but at least they scored 26 and 28 points against Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big if, but if Wentz can take care of the ball and maybe they can get something going on the ground, I think they're going to walk out of there with the win. But again, how do you judge the Eagles? Was it the team that almost came back to beat Baltimore and with the failed two-point try? And the team that ran the ball against Pittsburgh and at times looked good on offense? Couldn't stop Claypool. But I think there's encouraging signs there the last couple of weeks what they've done offensively. There's nothing to like with the Giants. Nothing. The offense is a joke. Wentz has 11 turnovers, by the way. Danny Dimes has 9. More on that coming up. But the Giants, if you take out that game against Dallas – they're averaging 13 points per game. They're 30th in passing. They're 30th in rushing. They're 30th in yards per game. Mm-hmm. And again, they have a quarterback who keeps turning it over. They're averaging 16 a game if you count the Dallas game. And then they scored 20 points last week, which was misleading at home because Washington, Allen fumbled, and they had a scoop and score. So, I mean, this is good job by the clapper here. They are grotesque offensively when you look at the yards and what they've done.
So I'll break down some of the player matchups here in a second and what we're looking at. Maybe some player props with Boston Scott, first player to score a touchdown tonight. But back to that the whole division discussion here for a second. ESPN has it. There's a guy who's running their numbers with advanced analytics. Mm-hmm. In 13 of their 20,000 simulations, the NFC East champion has four wins overall, just to clarify. Yes. The 11 times by the Eagles, one by football team, one by the Giants, none by the Cowboys. In 28% of the simulations, the NFC East champion has six wins or fewer. And in, let's see here, there is a scenario where the Cowboys finish at 5-11 and they finish in second place because the Eagles would win the division at 4-10-2. They would win the two ties.
Oh, come on now.
Now, that's what I want. Honestly, at the end of the year in a couple of months, I hope we're talking about a team, maybe the Eagles, who wins this division at 4-10-2, and everybody else loses out, obviously. That would be just completely nuts. Here's the deal. There is a 60, according to their numbers and simulations, ESPN, there is a 66% chance the NFC East winner has seven or fewer wins. And you're telling me that the 7.5 prop at DraftKings is under 125? Okay.
Uh-huh. It's the second worst winning percentage through six games since the merger. And when they run it, the 28% of the time, the division winner is going to have six wins. It's a trap.
Yep.
Six wins or fewer. I mean, this is ridiculous.
So as you talked about, no Miles Sanders among many other skilled guys and offensive line guys for the Eagles tonight. But looking at Boston Scott, he's played two career games against the Giants. He has averaged 133 total yards rushing and receiving, averaged that in two games. And he's also averaging two touchdowns per game against the Giants. Opposing running backs against New York so far this year, Benny Snell week one, 19 for a buck 13. David Montgomery, 16 for 82. Zeke Elliott went 19 for 91 and two touchdowns. Now on the flip side, for the Eagles, they do not defend the tight end at all. So, in fact, Eagles' first touchdown allowed this year. Game one, Logan Thomas with football team. Game two, Tyler Higbee. He scored three times in that game for the Rams. And the first touchdown overall in the game. Nate Boyle last week, touchdown Ravens, first one of the game. That's three times this year where the Eagles allowed the first touchdown of the game and it went to the tight end. The other three times, it was to the opposing team's wide receiver. Interestingly enough, twice via the run. We saw that with Claypool on the under round and Ayuk on that Sunday night game. Both did that. So maybe Evan Engram here, he's plus $13 to score the first touchdown tonight, or plus 240 to score in the game. Because again, they are horrific guarding tight ends so far this year.
Bet Rivers props. Will Jones throw an interception? Yes, minus 175. He missed four games last year. He was second in turnovers. You know who number one? I mean, Winston threw 30 picks.
Right.
Jones was second in turnovers. He has nine turnovers this year. Wentz has 11, as I mentioned. Jones prop, 232 passing yards. Wentz, 249 at Bet Rivers. There's 245 different ways to bet the game at Bet Rivers. You can go over under 31.5 all the way up to 59.5.
Yeah.
With the alt spreads and the alt totals. So everything you want at Bet Rivers. But again, they own them. They beat them 7 in a row and 11 of 12. So I like Philly.
And there's nothing pretty much to like. Well, there's not a lot to like about any team in this division, but there's nothing really to like about the Giants whatsoever. Maybe, they have pretty good receivers. So they have that going for them. And I will say this, Devontae Freeman has been running. That was a nice addition after they, suffered the injury to, Barkley suffered the injury and he's out for the year. Freeman's been pretty decent, but you cannot run on the Eagles, as a side note. Only one time this year as a running back topped 54 yards. That was Daryl Henderson all the way back in week number two when they played the Rams. Other than that, Mixon, 49 yards. McKinnon, 54. Connor, 44. So even still, with all these injuries, they've done a great job at slowing. They've done this for years. The lead back for the opposing team rarely has a great game against this Eagles front.
I just cross out the Dallas game because they're so bad on defense. If you take that out, the Giants have been held to 20 points or fewer in every game.
Uh-huh.
The other thing, Philly's 26th in passing. Bring him in the game, but don't run gadget plays. Use Hurts like a quarterback. You don't have to use him as this gimmick guy. He can throw the ball. So put something in there for him and run an actual offense. Don't do this gimmick stuff.
Yeah, here's
when
what
they bring him in.
Here's what I don't get. So you're going to use a second-round pick on a quarterback in college. Jalen Hurts, he was very good in college, obviously. But then the only time you're going to use him is maybe once or twice throughout the game. Like you said, hey, let's go shotgun now and we'll run an RPO with him. Or that's it? You don't have some sort of a package put together for him at all? There's like no game plan whatsoever. And to your point about Peterson in this spot 4-0 on Thursday nights, I mean, does he not have a clear edge over Joe Judge for the Giants? First time ever that he's in this situation with short rest?
That's buyer's remorse already.
Yeah.
That looks like a bad hire.
I know it's very easy to jump on Peterson right now because they're not having a good season. A lot of his decisions are really bad. But he has the clear edge tonight over Joe Judge.
I would agree. How about the college game? App State, they had that disappointing loss against Marshall, who's ranked now, although it was on the road. I don't know what's going on with them offensively. And Zach Thomas is a good quarterback, but he's had a bad year so far. App State opened 10.5 at Circa. They're up to 13. They've been off since September 26th with COVID issues in that league. They still have, there's a question mark on three wide receivers tonight because of COVID issues. Arkansas State's been involved in all these shootouts. Remember the game last week? Playing 100 points scored in the game. Bonner's a good good numbers for Arkansas State, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And it's 13-68 right now in most spots, 67.5 here at the South Point. They did beat Kansas State. They have all these issues defensively. They're allowing 39 points per game. I got to see more out of App State, though. I mean, the time off, the quarterback isn't playing well. Ark State can't stop anything. But, I mean, between this time off and App State's been a disappointment, they're 2-1 and Arkansas State's 3-2.
I mean, look at some of Arkansas State's scores, like you said. 59-52 against Georgia State, 50-27 against Central Arkansas. The loss to Coastal Carolina, they allowed 50 in that game. The upset of K-State on the road, it was 35-31. And then against Memphis, 37-24. But the last three games now, one team in every game, both teams in one game scored more than 50 points. Hence the total being as high as it is right now tonight.
Okay, and I'm going to give the debate a try, and we'll see how long I can last.
Ooh, boy.
The second one was good, but the vice president... Harris against Pence and the Fly. By the way, whose head will the Fly land on first? Trump minus $3. How do you make a number on that? That's available globally.
Don't you think that they should actually have somebody like have a jar of flies and they release a couple as soon as it starts? Okay, now here we go. All bets are on.
Here we go.
We have action, baby.
Yep.
Can you make it more than 9 minutes on the debate tonight?
Well, it depends. I'd like to see a feature where if someone's talking and they interrupt, that your mic is muted.
Automatically
muted. I want to see that. What will Biden say first? Come on, man, plus 175. Unpresidential, plus 225. Clown, 5-1. Shush, 6-1. Shut up, 6-1.
Will he shush him?
I would say I'm going to go unpresidential, 225. I'm going to go with that. Biden wearing a mask on camera, yes, minus 165. Trump shown wearing a mask, no, 6-1. Between that prop and there's another prop, will Trump say Black Lives Matter? I mean, that you can't put that high enough on the no, right? It's like 1,100, 1,200, 1 to 12. Come on.
Now, wait a second here. Is that right? Trump shown wearing a mask, the no is six plus $6?
Oh, excuse me. I think I wrote... That should be yes. The yes, yeah.
The yes is plus $6.
Yeah,
okay.
Backwards.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to say, I will gladly hop on that if I possibly can.
Yeah.
Over-under for me, I would say, would be unless the remote gets stuck or I turn it there on accident, I will watch over-under for me tonight is about 9.5 seconds.
What are you seeing now? It's other places. I'm seeing Trump plus 170, plus 175. You actually, at Bookmaker, Trump is plus 230 to win Pennsylvania.
And numbers went against him yesterday.
Okay.
So there were a bunch of states where the polls, anyway, the numbers showed that Biden's lead aggressively took off yesterday, and hence the move. I think in the morning I was seeing Trump around a plus 140, plus 145, but I think that shifted throughout the day.
Don't you think he should be higher than $2 if he's up 11 points in the polls? There was many reasons to dislike Hillary.
I mean, how does the math work out on that?
Yeah. Yeah, right. So you can say, I know what happened 4 years ago, but there was the Hillary issue. I think that you're going to see a record turnout, and these people are going to pack the polls, and you're going to see tremendous. There's a prop on that. Over under 149.5 million votes. Voters over minus $2. Voter turnout over 60.5%. Over minus 135.
Yeah, I saw the prop with that. Over 60.5 was the number that I saw. Are we going to get that many this year? I mean, don't we kind of think we're going to do that every single 4 years? And then it never actually comes to fruition?
Well, it happened with Obama, though. But Obama doesn't have the support. Biden doesn't have the support that Obama did, though. Mm-hmm. But I think he can get in the ballpark, get in range. And I think there's a big difference between Biden and Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. If it's 53 to 42, why is he only $2?
Yeah, something is not right there.
Yes. OddsTrader.com. Winners are made here. They do the hard work for you. Who's going to be the winner? All handicapping tools in one place. Free service dedicated to helping sports fans beat the books. Sign up for an account today. Real-time bet tracking. Live in-game odds and stats. In-game tracking tools. This is huge. Compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Alexander. It's a dynamite site. OddsTrader.com.
I would rather watch the Jets offense from this year on a never-ending loop than any time tonight dedicated to the debate. So that's where I stand on that. Up next, Paulie will run down Win Some, Lose Some here on Follow the Money. Clear something up here quickly before we get to win lose. The wording on that confused me in the previous segment about Trump and the mask. So yeah, that was worded. He's not going to wear a mask. That's priced properly then per the wording. Are you ready for a faster way to win? When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, faster withdrawals, and faster rewards. Experience this premium sportsbook for yourself and sign up with the code VSIN250 to get a 100% deposit match. Up to $250 must be present in the following states: New Jersey, Indiana, Iowa, or Illinois. You must be 21 plus. Additional terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER if you're in New Jersey and Illinois, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, and 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Here we go. It's time for Win Lose.
Rough night?
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night? How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Yes. And I agree with the person who tweeted in as well about Pennsylvania is up for grabs. My comment was about Biden about $2 to win. Pennsylvania was a different discussion,
mm-hmm.
which you bet 180. You found 180.
I did.
But I saw plus 230 yesterday, and I'm seeing 170, 175 to take back on Trump to win at various places. Soccer yesterday, win some. Shakhtar 15-1 to beat Real Madrid.
Oh,
how about
no,
that to start
really?
Your day?
Wow.
15-1. Salzburg draw plus 535 at Circa as well. Eclectic mix as always. We love dogs. We love huskies. But I've had a husky before. Look at this. Mopping. I got him. Get me out of here. Get this. Runs right. I can't wait to leave and get in the car. And that's it. Come. I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere. Sneak attack. Runs right out. Hops over the mop. Runs right into the front seat. Goes right into the back. And I'm not moving. Let's go. I want out. They are so smart. They are great dogs. Love the huskies. That is phenomenal. Great video. And look at this. As the homeowner writes, I come home to this every day now. There you go. Peekaboo. Like the Game of Thrones episode. Look at that. There's two of them now with the Beagles. That's excellent. And get ready, folks. Come to Vegas. Come to Circa. Stadium Swim opens on Tuesday night. There's a taste. Some
Whoa.
Of the talent
Good morning.
That will greet you, and we'll say, now the one second in from the left, you don't even mess around. You just hand her a ring that has more carrots than Bugs Bunny, and say, why are we messing around? Okay, why? I mean, look, this is that's some some of the staff that'll be working at the pool, if he can put the photo up again. They'll be bringing you cocktails and drinks.
I don't care about the B-roll. I never want to see B-roll ever again. I don't care what the casino looks like.
Oh.
Only this, please.
Boy, it's a shame you're married.
No, happily married. And let me tell you, Paul, it's not automatic where you get down on one knee. Trust me on that.
Okay.
You don't do that to anybody.
Okay, there you go. That is strong right there. So a couple of rules in life. Don't trust anyone and always get it in writing. I thought of this the other day. This is a long time ago. This is me with Phil Baroni, former UFC fighter. And we had an agreement. Okay, we'll do something on camera. We're promoting an energy drink. You can put me in a rear naked choke. But when I tap, let go, okay?
When I tap, I tap.
Right. I didn't know he was a lunatic, right?
Well, his nickname is the New York Badass.
Right.
How would you know that?
So here we go. I say to him on camera right now, when I tap, let go. He goes, yeah, I got it. He locks it in. He's got it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16, 17 taps before he let go.
Mm-hmm.
It was over for me. It was all over.
Well, that's what you get because you were talking trash to his face, and then you're like, okay. He wanted to put you in your place, and he did.
Look at the taps. Look at it.
He doesn't care.
He won't let go. I almost passed out. I was done. I saw stars.
You're having trouble standing up there, actually.
Well, of course. He's got big biceps, that guy. Hogan. Win, lose.
You know, that happened to Adam Hill as well, who was on our show yesterday.
Oh, they did a promotion with that. That's right. The guy actually put...
A guy was listening who was like a... they invited people down to the studio.
Wasn't he a cop?
He was like a cop from Detroit or whatever.
He was a cop gigantic. In Minneapolis?
Yeah. He came down and he put Adam in the rear naked choke. Adam completely passes out. The guy lets go. Adam... head over tea kettle, right into like the heater vents. Head first. Boom. He's out cold.
Yeah. Adam's a big guy.
Oh, yes, he is.
The guy goes, all right, I win. I win the prize.
I win
the prize.
Grab the prize. See you later. Yeah,
they win the prize, too. They win the prize, too. Circa Stadium Swim.
That was a fun contest.
Oh, my God.
Oof.
Hey, nice job, Derek. Mike Palm. Tough gig. Let's start the insanity on Wednesday.
Boy, oh, boy. All right.
We get to see that every day.
Yeah.
A little different than coming in here.
A little bit. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, best NFL and college teams, ATS, and over-under so far in the season.
Jeremy's filling in for Jeff Siegel. Top plays from ExpressBet editor-in-chief Jeremy Plonk. Let's go to Keeneland today in the 7th. He likes the 2, Kiss Moore. Inside post positions have a big tactical edge in dirt mile races at Keeneland, and Kiss Moore should be on the lead early. Jeremy recommends a win and a place bet. 6-1. All right. Golden Gate, race 5. He likes the 6. Pure comedy. The strongest finisher in the field finds a fast pace to enhance his chances. All 6 of his victories have come on the main track at Golden Gate, with recent races elsewhere blemishing his record. 3-1 on the morning line. Bet these races at FirstBet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. FirstBet features include wagering all the top tracks, AI-enhanced handicapping tools that tap into a library of more than 200,000 past races to identify horses racing today that fit a winning pattern. Promo code VEGAS500. $10 free bet as soon as you sign up. $500 bonus for a wager in your first 30 days. First.com/bet, code VEGAS500.
Okay, so earlier in the show, we were talking about how the Eagles have been really, really bad against opposing tight ends this year. And I brought up maybe Evan Engram first touchdown or anytime touchdown tonight. Good tweet here from Jason Hoover, who says, Giants season ticket holder going to the game tonight. If you like the tight end to score, take a look at Caden Smith. Lots of chatter locally on him getting more looks and will be a better price. First touchdown on Caden Smith is 35-1.
All right.
On an anytime touchdown out of Caden Smith tonight is plus 750.
What do you think of the total? Because the Giants are so bad on offense.
I would look under in this game. I have no bet on it. Let me get that out there right now. I do have the Eagles minus 3.5 in pocket. I have nothing on the total. I would look under, but again, it's betting, you know, betting the NFL under nowadays is not exactly a sane thing to do.
Good point. Absolutely. And the other thing, too, we discussed that DraftKings prop. Will the division winner have over or under 7.5 wins, under 125?
Yep. All right, so here you go. The best teams in the NFL ATS after 6 weeks of play. Pittsburgh is the best team in the league. They are 4-1 ATS. They are covering by 7.2 points per week. Other teams that are 4-1 ATS, Seattle, Denver, Green Bay, and the LA Chargers. Worst teams in the league ATS. Well, you know all about the Jets. They're 0-6 ATS, and they're missing the cover by 11.3 points per week. Does anybody realize that there's another team in the NFL 0-6 ATS?
Yep.
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're missing the cover on average by 9 points per game. Houston, 1-5 ATS. The best teams to the over. Again, I would say this is under the radar. The Saints are not only 5-0 to the over so far, and they get Carolina this weekend at home, but they're going over on average by 11 points per week. The Raiders are 4-0-1 to the over. They're going over on average by 10.6 points per week. Tennessee, high total this week against Pittsburgh. Who cares, right? 4-1, I say that tongue-in-cheek. Tennessee, 4-1 to the over, and they're going over by 10 points per game. Buffalo is now 4-1-1 to the over. Your best teams in the league to the under. I don't think many people realize this. The Cardinals are 6-0 to the under, folks.
Yep.
And they're staying under by 4.8 points per game.
Raiders are 5-0 to the over, too.
Well, it depends on how you grade.
That's ridiculous game open 48, close 53.
Yep. Other teams that are under, 4-2 on the year. Baltimore, Carolina, Kansas City, Miami, Chicago, the Giants, and the Rams. Your best college ATS teams. So Air Force, they qualify, I think, at this point because they're 1-0 and they covered by 39.5 points against Navy. But as we continue to do this throughout the year, I don't think we're going to leave Air Force on the list. Tulsa is 2-0 ATS, covering by 21 points per game.
I did a triple take yesterday. There are two Mountain West games on Thanksgiving. Air Force is one of them.
Wow, really?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. There's two college games on Thanksgiving. Right. And the Mountain West, of all things.
Well, how about the news yesterday? Mountain West,
yeah,
New Mexico.
Yeah, good shot. Right off the bat, game canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't see how they play next week either.
Neither do I.
They can't even practice.
Mm-hmm. Marshall is 4-0 ATS, and they're covering by 18 points per week. Arkansas, 4-0, covering by 12 points per game. Charlotte's 3-0. South Carolina's 3-0-1. Worst college teams ATS. Kansas, 0-4. Here we go again with this team, and they're missing the cover by 13.6 points per game. Western Kentucky's 0-5, Paul, and they're missing by 11 points per game.
Oh, boy.
And it wasn't pretty for UMass this past weekend against Georgia Southern. They got annihilated. I think it was 41-0 was the final. So,
really?
They're 0-1 ATS. Temple, 0-2. App State, 0-3. Best college over teams. Texas 4-0, by the way, going over by 20 points per game. Bama's 4-0. They're going over on average by 17.2 points per game. Virginia's 4-0. Georgia State is 3-0, on average going over by 18 points per game. Florida's 3-0. Temple's 2-0. Houston's 2-0. And I think I forgot Tulane in there for a 4-0 team. They're actually 4-0-1, on average going over by 13.8 points per week. Best college under teams. Troy, 3-0-1 to the under. UMass and FAU, they're 1-0 to the under. Tulsa's 2-0 to the under. A bigger sample size here. Texas State, 5-1 to the under.
Ooh.
Army, 5-1 to the under. Army, again, you never really see high totals with that team. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Boston College, Monroe, and UTEP are 4-1 to the under so far in college.
Great information. I love looking at that stuff.
Some of it's... kind of eye-opening.
Yeah.
Like everybody knows the Cowboys are a disaster, but 0-6 ATS. And the thought with, Arizona before the season started was faster pace. He now has Hopkins to throw the ball to. They're going to score a lot of points. Has it been the case?
What if the Seahawks get Antonio Brown?
Do you like that idea?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Why do you like it?
Because he's one of the best wide receivers in football. If he acts like a fool, he can just say, get out of here.
If he's
not going to be on his best behavior or close to it, he's not going to get another opportunity again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's just cuckoo for, you know, wacky upstairs, which is possible.
It's certainly possible.
But if he doesn't, he behaved in Pittsburgh, which I guess Tomlin was a saint.
Yeah.
But I think it would have worked out in New England if he didn't have the other issues that carried over, and then reason why Kraft says get out of here.
Sure. If you tell me right now that he screws up somehow or he becomes a head case, and then Pete Carroll and company, they say, okay, that's it. We gave you a chance. You're out of here. If they put up with none of his crap, then I'll say, okay, maybe you can twist my arm on that. I'd rather see them. Is there anybody else defensively that they can sign?
Well, yeah.
They need Jamal Adams to come back and to be healthy. That's what they need more than anything else. But that, I mean, if he comes back, the guy stays in shape. We know that.
It's pretty good. Metcalf and Brown with Wilson.
And Lockett.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard. Live from the South Point Sportsbook. Up next, Nigel Seeley was 4-1. Check that with the soccer bets on Tuesday. Find out who he likes today, coming up next.
Coming up, the GOAT of college football, Matt Vasgersian, live from the World Series, and the GOAT of soccer and tennis joins us now, Nigel Seeley. Every week gives out soccer plays to the Fall of the Money Army, and he's part of the VSiN Premier League Betcast. This Saturday, 12:30 Eastern, it's Man U against Chelsea, and Nigel gives out great information along with Harry Simu as well. Details at VSiN.com. The VSiN EPL Betcast every weekend with the great Nigel Seeley. Follow him on Twitter at Seeley_Nigel. Easy to get a hold of. And check out his podcast, too. He has a great time. How you doing, friend?
I'm very well, guys. How are you?
All right.
You all right?
All right. All right. I see you went 4-1 Tuesday. I had no idea. I wasn't paying attention because I didn't know.
How did you not know Champions League football was starting?
I don't know.
What happened? You've got to be on the ball, mate. You can't have days off. You know. You never sleep.
I know.
You've got to make sure.
By the way, Nigel, it's not like you send out alerts or anything either, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I'm not active on Twitter or anything, am I?
Get out of here. That's good. You're the best.
I'm going to send the pigeon now from here over to Las Vegas. I'll tell you next week. We'll get there by next week, Paulie. We'll be there.
Excellent job. So a 4-1 again. Do you like anything today with Europa?
Yeah, I've got four plays tonight, which you can get if you want to get in contact with me. There's four plays. So I'll give you one of them. I think that AC Milan will beat Celtic, providing AC Milan put out a very good side. My only slight concern is they've got a big game at the weekend against Roma in the Italian league, and they may not look at this as a priority. And they may think, because it's a group situation, they might think, well, we'll rest a few players for the big game at the weekend. And Milan are a really, really good side in Italy at the moment, scoring goals for fun, winning every game with 100% record over there. And I think that they'll beat Celtic. Celtic are in disarray at the moment. But I would be quite nervous on that game until I saw the team. So that was a worry for me. And my biggest play on the night is in Slovan Liberec, Czech side. They're at home to Ghent from Belgium. The Belgium side are in complete and utter disarray. I think they've lost 5 of 7 games this season. They've already sacked 3 managers. Incredible. This season, yeah. And they're without their best 3 players today. 2 midfielders and their captain are both not playing this match. They've got big, big problems at the club. And Liberec are a decent side. I mean, the Czech league isn't that great, but nor is the Belgium league, really. Mm-hmm. And this is a price that they're being priced up on history. Liberec have done okay in European football. They were plus $2.25 yesterday. They're now plus $2 to win it. But I've actually bet them plus half a goal, which I get the draw as well at minus 150. But I wouldn't put anybody off betting Liberec in the 90-minute market, because I think Ghent are a side that really, really have problems and well worth opposing tonight in the Czech Republic.
Okay, excellent. Now, how about the Premier League? There's a match Friday. Villa's in second place. They're off to a great start. They almost were relegated last year, and then they pounded Liverpool. They take on Leeds. So far, so good with your call there. They're top 10 in the table. And then you also, the game you're a part of, the match you're calling, Man U, 15th place against Chelsea here. Mm. If you just run down some of the games on the card this week in the Premier League, please.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start on the Friday night game, Aston Villa against Leeds. I think that's a really, really difficult game to handicap, because both sides are actually overachieving on where we thought they would be from last season. Villa, I've said to you countless times on the show, I think they've got some of the best signings. I think the players they brought in, a brilliant goalkeeper, a great midfielder in Ross Barkley, an England international. They've kept Jack Grealish, their talisman, for another season. And they've got a good striker in Ollie Watkins, a young English striker who's come from Brentford in the Championship. And all three of those boys, and a goalkeeper from Arsenal as well, and they've done exceptionally well. The trouble is that they I don't think they can maintain it. They have a couple of key injuries. They'll probably fall down the table. Leeds have been superb, probably putting their worst performance last time out against Wolves. I think it'd be quite an entertaining game. I would expect to see goals, because both teams like to play football in an attacking way. But as far as the actual outcome of the winner, I wouldn't have a bet. You can bet Aston Villa about plus 135. Leeds are at about 220. But if I had a small lean, I'd probably bet the draw, because the draw is the biggest price out of the three outcomes and probably the most likely. But I do think goals, I think if you want to play the overs, I wouldn't rule you off that. If we go into Saturday, West Ham play Manchester City in the first game at 12:30. West Ham, the amazing comeback against Tottenham. They were 3-0 down after 15 minutes, and then they come back with the last kick of the game with one of the greatest strikes of football I've ever seen for Lanzini to make the game 3-3. So they host Manchester City. The problem is Manchester City always beat West Ham and always beat them comfortably. In the last 5 years of this fixture, the results have been 5-0 Man City, 4-0 Man City, 4-1 Man City, 4-0 Man City, and 5-0 Man City. So that would be a massive concern if you're a West Ham fan. I can't see anything other than goals in this match. I couldn't have a play. Potentially bet Manchester City minus 1.5 goals, but Man City have got a big lot of injuries. I mean, Aguero doesn't look fit. Fernandinho was just ruled out for 6 weeks now. Defensively, they're all over the place. Maybe both teams to score here, but I do fancy goals in that. Manchester United-Chelsea, an interesting game on paper, but doesn't really get me going, really. I think in play, I might have a few ideas on how the game will go. Manchester United, you just haven't got a clue what Manchester United are going to turn up. And the same with Chelsea. Manchester United were absolutely brilliant against Paris Saint-Germain in midweek. If they play like that, they'll beat Chelsea. And Chelsea played Sevilla on Tuesday. And in a game, I don't think there was a shot on target from either sides. But the trend would be to expect goals, because Chelsea have just come on the back of a 3-3 draw with Southampton, and Manchester United are playing a 4-1 game. And I think already at this part of the season, both sides will go out to entertain, because they need to win to keep the pressure on at the top of the table after an indifferent start. So again, I would fancy goals. If we go into Sunday, the only bet I have actually had in the Premier League, I've got 8 plays in England this weekend and 1 play in the Premier League, and my strongest play is Wolves to beat Newcastle. I thought Wolves were brilliant against Leeds. I thought tactically they got their tactics spot on. And if they play to 70% of that capability, they'll beat Newcastle, because I think Newcastle are a really, really average side who are destined for problems this season. Newcastle played well in the first half against Manchester United. They were leading 1-0. Second half fell to pieces, lost 4-1. And prior to that, they played Tottenham in a game which I did in the betcast, and how they escaped with a 1-1 draw with a last-minute penalty kick, I'll never know, because they should have been 4 or 5 nil down at half-time. And Newcastle aside, on statistics, just aren't creating enough chances and look for a long season. And I think Wolves minus 125 will beat Wolves.
I would love to know your percentage, since we've met you, in League One and League Two. I mean, it's got to be astronomical. And you also have some picks. Anything you want to share, League One, League Two?
I'll give you my best pick of the week. There's 8 bets, but yep, I've given you, I think, in League Two, I'll go for Cheltenham. Cheltenham aside, that I've said to you, I've been on, I think, 3 times I've tipped Cheltenham. I think they'll win at the weekend. They're minus 110. And the other team I like is Oxford. They're plus 115 to beat Swindon over here. I cannot see how that can't be a game that ends up minus money, because this is a local derby for the two of them. They're very closely located. Swindon got promoted last season from League Two, and Oxford really had a chance to get promoted into the Championship. So there should have really not been a two-division gap between these two sides. Since Swindon got promoted, they got rid of their top striker. He left, and they've struggled this season. They haven't won a game. They've lost virtually every match they played. And Oxford are languishing towards the bottom of the table. But that doesn't do their performances justice. A couple of their games have been cancelled because of COVID, so they've got some games in hand. But their performance status is very good. They score a lot of goals. They create a lot of chances. They've got a very good striker in Matty Taylor for Oxford, who's really good at this level. And I think they're a very, very different side than what their league position is suggesting. And I think they'll come good eventually. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll start with a win against Swindon, because Swindon are just total disarray, not winning games, confidence really low. And Oxford, they're just a classic example of a side, people looking at the league table thinking, well, they're down the bottom, they must be plus money to win this game. But really, when you delve into their statistics, they're creating chances, they create a lot of chances, but they're not scoring. But I think they will score against a Swindon side that are really, really average in League Two. Okay. No, League One, sorry.
Mike Palm was asking about you. In the fall, the Money Army wants to have a pint with you. When are you coming out? And just to dangle the carrot, here's the staff. Here's the pool staff at the new circuit.
I've seen it. And it absolutely made me green with envy. I will not be able to watch Follow the Money next week when I see you guys all at the lovely circuit and how amazing that looks. I would love to be there this weekend. Me and my business partner, Joe, I was chatting to about it, and I said, next week I will not be able to. Well, I'm going to have to unfollow you two guys for a week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know you're my friends, and I love you to bits, but I just cannot be seeing pictures with you surrounded by those lovely ladies in that pool. Paulie with his swimming trunks on, sitting between those two with a pint of Stella. I will not be able to have that, not at all.
All right, pal. Hey, by the way, I want to go back to that the match that you like in Europa with Libric. I'm seeing a lot of spots where it's pick plus 115. Would you recommend that as well?
Yeah, I would take a bit of that. Yeah, okay. I just think the other thing as well is that home advantage is crucial in European football because of the travel arrangements as well. And the Czech Republic is quite a far trip for a lot of these clubs. It's not like geographically, it's not like people going from France to Belgium or London to France or Belgium. It's quite a way, and I think that will go into their advantage as well. And this Ghent doesn't really need that this competition. They need to get back to some winning form domestically. So yeah, I think that'll be a play as well.
Great job, lad. Good luck this weekend.
Don't have too much fun when I speak to you next week. I don't want to hear what stays at Circa goes to Circa.
You got
there
it.
There you go. Come out. You can have the cabana at Sealy_Nigel at Twitter to get a hold of him. Check out his podcast. Check him out every Saturday. Well, this Saturday on VSiN and the Betcast Premier League. He's on the Man U Chelsea game, 12:30 Eastern, VSiN.com. Yep.
So we go from Nigel to Paul Stone. He's going to join the program next. He'll give us three or four of his best bets of the weekend with detailed analysis.